You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, even art galleries can spark chemical or elemental discussions. Andrea Seller.
Several years ago, I went with a friend to a small exhibition at London's National Gallery. It was a rare opportunity to see the masterpieces from the Doria Pamphili Gallery in Rome. The centerpiece was the famous portrait of Pope Innocent X by Velázquez, a spectacular snapshot of one of the most powerful men of his day, a tough-looking character in a gilded throne, sporting a neat goatee and a fierce and uncompromising glint in his eye. Across from it were hung Francis Bacon's disturbing Three Screaming Popes, nightmarish variants on Velázquez's theme. The pictures were so ugly and brutal that I instinctively blinked and looked away upwards, and unexpectedly, my eyes fell on a set of golden letters across the top of the doorway. I giggled, and my friend said, "What's so funny? These pictures are just awful." "Mond," I replied, "fancy finding him here."
"Who?" she asked, looking puzzled.
"Mond," I replied. "This gallery was endowed by Ludwig Mond, the chemist who made nickel available to the world." I fully expected her to roll her eyes and give me that pitying look that women reserve for the moment when the real nerd in a man is finally revealed. But there was none of that.
"I've never heard of him," she said. "Did he discover it?"
"No, he didn't. Nickel had been known for some time before that. It had been used in China and Peru to make a kind of steel. But it wasn't until the 19th century that two Swedish chemists, Cronstedt and Bergman, between them established it was an element. It was named nickel after one of its ores, a reddish material that German miners called Kupfernickel, St. Nicholas's copper."
"But isn't nickel rather nasty? Wasn't there some kind of problem with nickel jewelry?" my friend asked.
"Yes, nickel has long been used in alloys and to plate other metals. The nickel provides a tough, resistant, and shiny coating that protects the object from corrosion."
"Oh, you mean a bit like chrome plating?"
"Oh, yes, a bit like chrome, but less vulgar. Chromium gives a brilliant shine. Nickel is a bit more subdued."
"You mean classy?"
"I guess so. But the problem is that in contact with the skin, as in jewelry, the tiny amounts of nickel that dissolves in the sweat of the wearer was enough to cause skin reactions in some people, and using nickel turned out not to be a great idea."
"But what about Mond?"
"Oh, yeah, right," I replied. "Mond was a German chemist who moved to the UK, and he had a problem. He was passing carbon monoxide through nickel valves, and these kept failing and leaking. What Mond and his assistant Langer discovered was something remarkable, that his valves were corroding because the metal reacted with the carbon monoxide itself to make a compound called nickel carbonyl."
"So what?"
"Well, nickel carbonyl turned out to be a very volatile, colorless liquid, one that boils just below room temperature."
"Sounds a bit nasty," she said doubtfully.
"Oh, yes, very. Because it's so volatile, you need to be really careful when you handle it, since if you inhale it, it will decompose, releasing poisonous carbon monoxide and dumping metallic nickel into your lungs. So it's very dangerous indeed. But in a way, that's the beauty of it. Nickel carbonyl is incredibly fragile. If you heat it up, it shakes itself to pieces, and you get both the nickel and the carbon monoxide back. So what Mond had was a deliciously simple way to separate and purify nickel from any other metal. And what's more, he could recycle the carbon monoxide."
"Wow."
"Mond wasn't just an observant chemist. He was also a pretty savvy businessman. And he patented his process and he set up in business to sell the purest nickel at prices far below anyone else. And he made an absolute fortune and then steadily expanded into other areas of chemistry. His firm would eventually form the core of Imperial Chemical Industries, ICI, the conglomerate set up to defend British interests against, ironically, the onslaught of the burgeoning German chemicals industry."
"So what do people do with nickel today if it's so nasty?" she asked.
"Well, it's not really that nasty, provided you're careful in what you use it for. In the 1960s, another German chemist named Wilke developed nickel compounds as cheap and simple catalysts for the petrochemicals industry to clip together small carbon molecules. It's also used in all sorts of alloys. There's Invar, which is a kind of metallic Pyrex that doesn't expand or contract when you change the temperature. There's Monel, a steel so corrosion resistant that it will withstand even fluorine, which eats its way through just about anything. And there's the really weird memory metal, an alloy that no matter how much you twist and bend it, remembers its original shape and returns to it.
And then there's the super alloys made of nickel and aluminium with a dab of boron that are extremely light and actually get tougher as you heat them. So they're used in aircraft and rocket turbines. I could see I was going a bit too far. We turned back to the Pope. "He must have been a bruiser," I said. "You know what I like about you?" my friend asked, giving my arm a squeeze. "It's that we go to see paintings and I end up hearing about weird stuff." "And you know what I like about you?" I replied. "It's that you humor me when I go off on one." No doubt you're expecting me to say that it all ended happily. It didn't, and I haven't seen her in years. But weirdly enough, every time I think of Nicol, I think of her and the filthy look the Pope gave me.
So superalloys, relationships, and the Pope. What diverse chemical thoughts and stories Nicol provokes. That was UCL's Andrea Seller with a contemporary story for Nicol. Now, next week, the discovery of xenon.
The story of xenon begins in 1894 when Lord Rayleigh and William Ramsay were investigating why nitrogen extracted from chemical compounds is about 0.5% lighter than nitrogen extracted from the air, an observation first made by Henry Cavendish 100 years earlier. Ramsay found that after atmospheric nitrogen has reacted with hot magnesium metal, a tiny proportion of a heavier and even less reactive gas is left over. They named this gas argon, from the Greek for lazy or inactive, to reflect its extreme inertness. The problem was, where did this new element fit into Mendeleev's periodic table of the elements? There were no other known elements that it resembled, which led them to suspect that there was a whole family of elements yet to be discovered. Remarkably, this turned out to be the case.
And to hear how this story panned out, leading to the discovery of a new family of elements, as well as xenon, that would go on to light our roads and propel spaceships, join Cambridge University's Peter Wathers in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Meera Senthi Lingam.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.